clever,
this
Neil.
This call is being recorded.
Always.
You have a clever intro? I didn't know if you wrote one up.
No, I didn't. Sorry. If you had asked, I would have done it.
Oh, well, I didn't think about it. So, okay. All right, let's just do this thing. Dawn, do you have any questions before we get going?
No, we're going to just going to run. You say you're going to go division by division, you said?
Yeah. Just go through our team and kind of go. Going to start with the...
Do the crappy AFC first.
We have to, alphabetical order. All right, well, let's do this thing then. All right. Hello, here we are for the preview show, totally ignoring the Super Bowl. We're talking about the 2017 season. And I am joined today here with Dawn from the Ravens. How you doing, Dawn?
Hey, good. Glad to be back on here, guys.
Good. Great to have you. And we also have Neil on the line with us.
Hey, guys. You'll be there with your facts. I'll be here with my alternative facts.
I don't think anyone's touching that one. So we got Kevin not in prison, on parole.
Yes, I was able to get an excused absence just for this, so make the most of it. But I'm excited to be here, per usual.
Awesome. Well, we're here, and I'm Greg, the Steelers super fan, and I'm here ignoring the Super Bowl with these three other fellows, and we're going to just kind of run through some hot takes going on with the rest of the league, ignoring the Super Bowl, because I, for one, am pretty bitter about it right now. So to get started off, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the AFC, then go to the NFC, and just kind of give our impression if we think the teams are heading in the right direction or not, and what we would do or what we think the concerns are going forward. So let's just start off. Let's just pull the Band-Aid, and let's just start with the Patriots. And I'm going to throw it to you first, Dawn. I just want your general rational impressions of what you think the Patriots are heading, regardless of what happens in 2 weeks.
I mean, it seems at times that no matter what happens in the Super Bowl, I mean, their offensive line has been better, but you know, I feel like there's sometimes they dominate and sometimes they don't. So I feel like maybe they could spend something and get like a decent guard, like a young guard up front, a little bit more powerful. I mean, other than that, obviously, the team is stacked. Receiver wise, they make a lot out of nothing. It's typical Patriots football. I guess something they've been missing for the past several years is a really top notch pass rusher. I mean, they get it done with a lot of different guys year in, year out. I mean, going forward, as long as Tom Brady's there, they're going to contend for the AFC and the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I guess things can't really be looking up because they're already at the top. But I would think going forward, they have a good secondary. I would think pass rush would be, if they even call it a weakness, that would be their biggest weakness right now.
Okay. And Neil, do you think this is anywhere close to being like a Broncos situation where the aging quarterback is going to go stale off and leave us alone?
Brady seems to be getting better, doesn't he? But you've got to think. What's the saying? Father Time's undefeated. He'll get something at some point, which will knock him out. And I guess that would take me to the biggest issue I have with the Patriots would be, what are they doing with all these quarterbacks, Greg?
Who knows? I know Patrick thinks they're going to trade him. Kevin, do you have any thoughts on this team?
I think Don said pretty much about everything. There's nowhere really to go for the Patriots because they're already at the top. I know Neil thinks if the Patriots win, Belichick may retire and hand the reins over to what's his face? I can't remember his name right now.
McDaniel.
But McDaniel, yeah, McDaniels. So that would obviously be a huge thing to look out for in the off season. Because the Patriots probably will win. But they do need a pass rush, the Patriots. I mean, they traded away Chandler Jones. They traded away Jamie Collins. So their front seven could use some bolstering. So I think that's what they're going to focus on in the offseason. Because their secondary with Logan Ryan, who's having a pretty good playoffs, and Malcolm Butler, seems to be in pretty good shape over there. So, and an offense line. The Patriots always looking for an offense line to keep Brady's slow, feeble body not face down in the turf.
It's one thing to add there, Greg, is the Patriots not only are the best team with the best roster and the best coach and the best quarterback, they're also looking very healthy in salary cap terms with, what, about $65 million cap space going into the new season?
Wow. And, you know, that's probably why they made those moves last offseason or with Jamie Collins in the middle of the year. So that's interesting. Switching gears, enough Patriots talk for me, at least. So, Neil, we were talking about this a little bit with the quarterback indecision in the league as we were going through this. So let's go to Buffalo next. And what are your impressions there? Are they happy with Tyrod, or, you know, what's the new coach going to do?
Yeah, it's a great question, isn't it? McDermott's come in there. I'm not a Tyrod Taylor fan, but I know Bill's Robert. He is a fan of Tyrod Taylor. What did they do with him? And like you say, Greg, it's like so many teams in the league. What's the quarterback situation? It very much determines whether we think they're on the rise or on the way down. I think if Taylor's still there, I think they'll probably be about the same, 7-9 again. But is Romo a prospect there? Is Cutler a prospect to be going in there? Or will they draft somebody? They're sitting with, what, the 10th pick in the draft? So they might see McDermott might want somebody from the draft.
Because now that what they're, you know, the most important part of that team is now starting to get older and also get more expensive. So, Kevin, what do you think? What's your take on Buffalo?
I mean, I think the season was, I wouldn't even say it was a disappointing season for the Bills, because they were in contention for the majority of the season. So, as a Bills fan, you had to be happy for that. But really, the only consistent performer on the entire team was LeSean McCoy throughout the year. Once again, Sammy Watkins was banged up, missed games for probably that was his fifth or fourth year in the league now, Sammy, or his third, I don't even know, but
his third.
He missed a lot of games. And that seems to be a trend, and it doesn't seem like he's going to stop getting hurt. So that's not good. On the positive side, Reggie Ragland missed the entire year. So that's like getting another first/second round pick coming in fresh next year. Tyrod Taylor, I'm not the biggest fan of him either. Not sure if he's even going to be on the roster because he's getting surgery, something the Bills definitely didn't want him to do because some injury clause in his contract. I don't know the details, but they're obviously not on good terms, Tyrod Taylor and Bills management. So that's not good for anyone involved. Basically, the Bills are stuck in neutral, and I think that's going to be the same thing for 2017 because they need a quarterback, and that's going to be the theme for the show, I think, because pretty much every team needs a quarterback besides a select few.
So, Don, can you give them any hope?
I like Tyrod. I mean, I think he's good. I don't think he's, you know, an elite guy by any stretch. You know, based on their decision to bench him at the end of the season, you know, as to not trigger like guaranteed money if he gets hurt, even though he's having surgery. I mean, Bill's management at the time, you know, I don't think they want to necessarily move forward with him, but, you know, with new regime in there, we'll see. You know, if Tyrod sticks around, I would think that they would have to focus on wide receiver. Sammy Watkins obviously is talented, but you can't count on him to stay healthy. Robert Woods is no good. I think it's been proven year after year. They got to have somebody behind to pair with Sammy Watkins and also to take over a number one spot in case he's hurt. I mean, realistically, they need it. Players on defense that actually want to play there and actually want to study the playbook and not fight amongst themselves. Marcel Darius, I'm looking in your direction. But, I mean, yeah, again, you know, pass rush would be, just like the Patriots, pass rush would be a big focus on the Bills. But I think number one focus has to be keeping Tyrod and also improving their receiving core. Because, again, you know, I think I was listening to the radio coverage, you know, talk about they let Chris Hogan go, didn't match the offer sheet for 3 years, $12 million. And obviously look at the contributions he's made in New England. I mean, a lot of it has to do with Brady, I'm sure. But again, the guys behind Sammy Watkins are basically a garbage heap. So that would be their primary focus. I mean, if they keep Tyrod and, you know, get another receiver, I think they could be on the up, but I'm not too confident in them right now.
Don, is the Tyrod situation all tied to his contract? It's a massive amount, isn't it, if he plays on next season with them? But maybe he can restructure.
Yeah, there's guaranteed money. There was guaranteed money for injury, I believe, is what it was. So if he got hurt, I want to say there's a March trigger for all the guaranteed money. So they didn't want him to get hurt and have, you know, possibly be out for the next year, then they would automatically have to give him that money. But it's, you know, he got that big contract, and as usual with most, you know, pretty much any contract, it's, you know, 1 or 2 years and then we'll see. There's a lot of different triggers and, you know, get quote unquote guaranteed money as the deal goes on. Again, I like him. You look at who's out there right now. There's not going to be anybody on free agency that's any good. Definitely not any better than him.
Yeah, I agree with that. So switching gears here now with a guy who is in, I think, still in a dilemma here. Let's move on to Miami. And Kevin, I'm going to go to you. And Tannehill, I mean, he was out for the, you know, last few games of the season. They avoided a big knee injury, was a huge positive. But they made a huge leap this year by making the playoffs. You know, where's Miami going?
They did make a huge leap. But I'm not sold on Miami. I wouldn't be surprised if in 2017 they fall back down to 8-8, 9-7. Just because I don't know how the severity of Ryan Tannehill's injury. I mean, and he was improved this year from his previous years in the league, but I still don't think he's anything special. I mean, their offensive line, it needs to improve a little bit. Andy mentioned it in one of the week 16 or 15 podcasts that Pouncey, while talented, is always injured. So the best ability is availability. So the Dolphins need to look for a little bit more help on the offensive line, because it is shaping up nicely, but I think one more piece and the Dolphins will be in business on their offensive line. But in terms of the weapons Tannehill has, he has ample weapons. Jay Ajayi looks good. Devontae Parker is a big down the field threat. Jarvis Landry is a slot expert, middle of the field junkie, gets you the tough yards. So they have all the weapons that you need. Their defensive line is very old, so I would look for them to possibly do something to address that in the offseason. But other than that, I mean, it really rests on Ryan Tannehill. I think he's mediocre, so I think they could easily fall back down to 8-8, 9-7. And I think they would have lost to the Steelers even if he was playing. So basically, I don't think the Dolphins are going to do much with Tannehill under center, besides maybe win a few wild card games here and there. But yeah, that's my take on them.
What do you think, Neil?
I actually think the opposite. I like Miami. I think they had a solid season. I like the head coach, Gase. I think he brought a little bit more out of Tannehill, and maybe another offseason working with him can make him better. Tunsil, the first round pick, he had a good season. He played at guard most of the season. Hopefully he gets to move to tackle, but he looked good, and that's a good solid foundation piece for the offense. Yeah, they're on the rise. I like a solid looking team. I like Gase, and I see them on the way up. Definitely on the way up. Probably the challenger to New England next year.
And Don, final thoughts on them?
Yeah, I agree with everything you guys said. I mean, as long as Tannehill comes back healthy, I definitely think they have a shot to, you know, maybe make a wild card next year. As long as, you know, Jai is the real deal, which it seems like, you know, he obviously had a good year. The only concern I would have, again, it all goes back to these first two teams, is pass rush. I mean, Cameron Wake's I would assume is done at this point. Besides Sue, they got to have another pass rusher. I mean, Sue had a good year, better than I thought he would. I figured he'd be one of those guys to sign a big deal and then disappear, but he played hard. But yeah, I agree with the guys. I think Miami's on the way up.
All right. Well, let's move on to the Jets then and the disaster that is there. I was looking at overthecap.com, and they're, they're one of two teams over the salary cap projected for next year. And so they got to cut people. And I mean, they're in actually a good cap situation, but their roster's a little old. So going back to you, Don, here, just give me your overall thoughts here. What can they do?
I mean, I guess they got to be trending up just based on how horrendous they are. I guess it's good that they, Fitzpatrick waited all that time, not signing the deal, and they finally got him, and it didn't really do him very much. They need pieces across the board. I mean, you name it. I think running back, I think they'll be okay with, Forte, who's aging, and Bilal Powell. Receiver-wise, both Decker and Marshall are older guys. They need to look elsewhere. I feel like a broken record, but again, what pass rusher do they have on that defense? They've got a bunch of, 3-4 defensive tackles, defensive ends who can play good at times, but a lot of infighting going there. I can't remember if it was Wilkerson or Richardson going after Brandon Marshall. Secondary linebacker, you name it. I mean, if they get a decent, decent quarterback in there, maybe they're, I could see them trending up. I think it's going to be another rough year for the Jets.
Okay. Kevin, what are your thoughts here? Can this aging team pull together again?
Wow. The Jets are a complete dumpster fire. Let us be honest here. Have you ever seen a worse quarterback situation? They have four quarterbacks on their team. Well, Fitzpatrick's not going to be on this team next year, but so they have Geno Smith. He's not going to be there, but Bryce Petty, he's obviously not the answer. Hackenberg, I'm already going to pull the plug on Hackenberg with his zero career pass attempts. I just never liked him, even in Penn State. I never understood all the fuss about him. But anyways, Muhammad Wilkerson had a disaster of year after inking a new deal.
I think we are.
So that's definitely not good. Sheldon Richardson, the Jets are going to. Hello?
Neil.
Hey, Greg, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Can anyone hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you guys now.
Yeah, I can hear you. That was a bit of crackling up there for a minute. But does Kevin want to finish first?
Yeah, I did not hear what Kevin said at all, so I lost you guys there.
He was ripping Hackenberg, who hasn't thrown an interception in the league.
Yeah, I was ripping Hackenberg for no reason. But so
let's give me a quick recap, because I missed it all.
Yeah. Okay, quick recap of the New York Jets. The New York Jets are a dumpster fire. Their quarterback situation is horrendous. Bryce Petty's obviously not the answer. Christian Hackenberg, I'm pulling the plug on him with his zero career pass attempts. Never a fan of him. Could be completely wrong on that, but he just does not appeal to me whatsoever. And now on the defensive side of the ball, where the Jets were supposed to excel this year, and they were equally as bad as they were on offense. And Muhammad Wilkerson, after signing a huge deal, was a complete waste of space out there. Sheldon Richardson, although talented, is probably not going to be a Jet next year. I know the Jets desperately want to trade him. Leonard Williams seems to be a stud, so that's one positive for the Jets. Brandon Marshall, I don't know what his status for the Jets is. He's aging anyway. He might not be there. Decker, we saw what happens when he's the number one receiver on your team. Without the first year without Brandon Marshall on the Jets, he didn't really do much. But really, the Jets need to find a quarterback, and without that, they will be going 4-12 again next year. So that's the gist of it. Hello.
Yeah, I think Greg's dropped off there for a minute. So now we can trash the Steelers.
Oh, that's why I'm here.
How bad were they? I mean, they just bent over and took whatever the Patriots wanted to give them.
What I find astonishing is that the defender, well, I can't remember which defender was saying it, that they were caught off guard by the Patriots' hurry up offense. Like, oh, come on, like, how can you be caught off guard by that? It's not a secret.
That whole game looked like they were just out coached from start to finish. That flea flicker play, I mean, for goodness sake, it's 2016-17, and they got burned on that, absolutely torched.
Yeah, they have like three man rushes, playing zone, and still getting picked apart. And then it's like, well, why don't we change things up and play a little bit more man coverage? Nope, now we'll just keep playing zone because that worked so well for us.
Yeah, I mean Hogan's okay, but he's just an okay receiver, and he looked like Randy Moss out there.
Yep, just shredding him up.
Yep, absolutely, and they did that without Gronkowski. I mean,
which is a scary thought.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I don't know. It was another hugely disappointing playoff game. So yeah, we love the Steelers.
Yeah, we sure do.
Great team.
Sorry about that, guys. my internet was a little wonky there. I hard coded in, so. Hopefully those problems are gone.
I don't know if I can say anything on the Jets again.
I can have Mike go on the Jets.
Go.
Okay. I think Don said maybe we've reached the point where they can only go upwards, the Jets. I don't think so, Don. I don't think we've seen the depths yet. And as for your dumpster fire there, Kevin, I think the fire's left the dumpster and has scorched all the earth around the New York Jets. This is a team that's in... Well, they're probably, for me, in the bottom three in terms of any team in the league. What have they got apart from Leonard Williams? Revis, he's probably done. You've talked about the receivers. You've talked about the other defensive linemen. And, of course, the horrendous quarterback situation, as well as the infighting that we saw towards the end of the season. I just don't see anything for the Jets. I think they're on the way down. Okay, 5-11 last year. I think 5 wins is... would be astonishing in this coming year, but maybe they get Jay Cutler to come in and see them to the dizzy heights of 3 wins. I don't know. I just see them being in the draft after the next one. It will be the first pick in the NFL draft, the New York Jets.
Wow. All right. Well, since I've screwed up the Jets here, let's just keep moving.
I continue to rip on the Jets. I hope you can salvage my takes.
I mean, Jets? What's positive about the Jets? Tell me one thing that's positive apart from Leonard Williams, who's often injured.
There's literally nothing positive about the Jets.
Exactly, nothing. Even their punter probably isn't very good.
They sell good sausage and peppers at the stadium, though. I will give them that.
Oh well, there we go. That's on the way up.
Yeah.
Did you have the sixth?
Priced, to be honest,
they have the sixth pick in the draft, so maybe they can. Maybe they'll be looking at quarterback there or pass rusher. A lot of pass rushers this year.
All right. Well, let's get positive here. Let's move on to the AFC South. It's a little bit unconventional here.
Oh, yeah. A lot of positive.
That's not going to help, Jeff.
And we're going to start with the division winner, you know, in their quotes here, the Houston Texans. Don, I haven't heard from you in a little bit here. What is your take on the Texans moving forward?
That's a tough. When we talked about doing this podcast, this is one of the tough ones for me. I mean, you figure, you know, Osweiler or Tom Savage, you know, they can't be any worse than they were this previous year. But I mean, I could be totally wrong. The only reason I'm almost banking on them going up. Just due to the fact, I mean, you know, DeAndre Hopkins obviously had an off year, but again, we're going to go back to quarterback play on that one. I think getting, you know, as good as the defense was this year, you know, if they get J.J. Watt back in full health, You know, on paper, they should be even better with, you know, Clowney healthy, you know, the other guys in that defense. They were 9-7. I'm going to a little bit more continuity, you know, another year in the system, whether it's Savage or Osweiler, I'll say they're going up. Again, the concern for me would be, you know, a little bit of improvements on the offensive line. You know, Dwayne Brown's an older guy still there, but yeah, they could definitely use some help there. A second receiver, we'll see if the young rookie they had this year, you know, keeps it up or improves, I should say. That would be my two main areas of concern for the Texans, but I think they're going to trend up.
Okay. Kevin, do you have any thoughts?
I actually do think they're trending up just because the rest of their team besides Brock Osweiler seems to be pretty good. I mean, the playoff game, I knew Whitney Mercilus was a very good player, but that playoff game in defeat against the Patriots, he was an absolute monster. And I think he caught the eye of a lot of people. Might have even became a household name at that point, which he definitely wasn't before that game. Jadeveon Clowney, obviously, he seems to be coming into his own. J.J. Watt will be back next year. I'm not sure what his status is, though. I mean, it seems to have been a really serious injury. He's had like 3 back surgeries the past year, something of that nature. Could have just completely made that up, but I do remember reading that somewhere. But you have to think that he's going to play and be somewhat effective next year. DeAndre Hopkins is a stud. Will Fuller, he needs to improve his route running, that's for sure. He was pretty much just a one-trick pony this year. They have to pretty much stick with Osweiler, right? Don't they? But, and he can't be any worse than he was this year. So that is trending upwards, even if they make no other improvements. They're in a horrible division, so they'll probably win the division again. That's the Texans for you. Another quarterback needed in Houston, people.
All right, Neil, let's hear a positive take here.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, you can see it as one of the best units in the league. I think it was AJ Boye, who the cornerback, who had a really good season. I think he's a free agent, so they want to sign him up again. The guys have mentioned Watt coming back and Clowney being outstanding. There was a lot of promise in that game against New England, but you just come back to it every time, don't you? The lack of quarterback talent, and to a certain extent, maybe they just need to improve the running game as well and improve that offensive line. Maybe that will help, because it looks like they're stuck with Brock for another year. But I think they're probably lucky they're in a poor division, probably win the division again and be again around about that 9-7 mark. With the current quarterback play, I just can't see them getting many more than 9 wins, regardless of how good that defense is. And that defense is really good.
Yeah, I think you're right on there. Well, let's move on now to the Colts. And you're right that the Texans are lucky to be in this division with Luck. He's hurt. You know, I as a Colts fan, I can't imagine anyone being super excited heading into 2017. So, Don, bring me some hope here.
Unless they can, you know, get 3 or 4 new offensive linemen and like 11 new defenders all in one offseason, I think they're... Yeah, I don't think they're going to have another good year again. Luck finally getting his shoulder, you know, repair, you know, fixed, and you know, he should be back by training camp. That whole talk, but I mean, he's not. We've heard that before. Shoulders are not an easy thing to come back from. You know, Frank Gore had a surprisingly good year for them. But again, unless they improve all those things, I mean, I have them trending down in my book.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. Neil, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with Don exactly. Trending down. Can you guys just clarify, have they actually got a new GM yet?
I don't think so. No, they're still interviewing.
Yeah, I think they're still interviewing. I just find it all a bit strange that the coach stays, but they're going to get a new GM, and a new GM is going to be sitting twiddling his thumbs all year thinking, I want my own guy in there at coach. Is it just going to be another lost season? I don't know. Doesn't make sense at all what they're doing there in Indianapolis. And of course, we talked about it so many times, Greg, haven't we? They're wasting this great young quarterback who should be up there in the upper echelons of the quarterback charts. But there he is with shoulder injuries. And last year was a lacerated kidney last year. I mean, the guy's going to be out of the league soon with injuries if they don't start protecting him and getting some defense. But Don said it. They need 11 new defenders. You don't get that in 1 year.
Yeah. So from a team that I think can't fix their problems in 1 year, Kevin, we're going to give you the first crack here at Jacksonville. I think they're showing signs, but, you know, a really weird coaching hire. What are you thinking? Are they going to rise? Are they going to be a 4-win team?
They could very well be a 4-win team, but that's probably where they max out because are they sticking with Bortles, everyone thinks? I mean, they probably are. Are they going to – I can't see them drafting another quarterback, but Blake Bortles is so obviously not the answer. He's so obviously terrible. I mean, Allen Robinson, he is a very good receiver, but no, if you watch any Jacksonville Jaguars games this year, which no one should have, Allen Robinson was, I don't think he ever cracked a smile past week 5 because him and Bortles were just never on the same page. And Allen Robinson should be he should be one of the league's best receivers. And that just was not the case this year. Their defense, though, it is pretty good. They have a lot of young talent. They had the Malik Jackson signing last year, obviously helped them. But again, I'm not going to get into too much detail here because, you know, then I'll just keep rambling. But Blake Bortles needs to be replaced, and until then, they will continue to suck.
Don, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like it's a team that's just, you know, so far down. I can see them trending up. I can see them getting to 7 or 8 wins. Seems like they have some pieces on defense. I mean, the defense was not bad at all last year. You know, just obviously the Bortles turnovers, pick sixes and all that kind of, you know, all that stuff. You know, if they can, you know, quote unquote, fix him, you know, I like their chances for a big improvement next year. You know, as far as, you know, focuses for them, I would say running back would be a focus. I mean, TJ Yeldon was drafted in the second round, I believe, hasn't really done a whole lot there. And Chris Ivory is, you know, three or four yards. He's like goal line back and gets hurt all the time. It's always what he's been. So I think they have a good young receiving core. Tight end would also be, you know, a concern. You know, Julius Thomas, you know, continues his streak of never playing 16 games in a season. And Mercedes Lewis, he just blocks. That's really all he doesn't do a whole lot besides that. But I like them going forward in the future, though, especially next year.
Yeah, Neil, your thought?
Yeah, I'm actually a little bit more positive about Jacksonville. I do think they've got a lot of talent there. But you guys have mentioned it, sorting out Bortles and Robinson, that looked like a terrific connection the previous season and faded away last year. That needs to be fixed. Doug Marrone, interesting guy. I think I actually quite like him. I think he'd be a good head coach. And what we saw last year from their first-round pick, Jalen Ramsey, the guy Dallas should have drafted, he played really well at cornerback and looks to be an absolute star. And we all know what you can do if you have a real lockdown cornerback at one side of the field. You can do a lot there. So, yeah, I see them on the way up.
Okay. Moving to a team that I'm pretty excited about in general. I like the Tennessee Titans a lot. I really love that they have two good bookends on this team. And I just want to throw it over to, I guess, let's go with Neil first. Neil, you haven't gone first in a while. What do you think about Tennessee?
Yeah, I'm with you, Greg. I think we talked about it during the season. They're doing okay. They're slowly improving. And what I like with Tennessee is that they happen to have the 5th pick in the draft from the LA Rams from last year's trade for Jared Goff. So they've got 2 early picks, 5th and 18th. And I think they can continue to, well, hopefully develop their secondary, and which I think is a weak area, and really probably their defense overall. But I also think, you know, we talked earlier about Winston having Evans, Mike Evans, the wide receiver, as a target. I think Tennessee could do with a real number one receiver as well. So they have chances this year in the draft. Get a couple of good players, and yeah, I can see them maybe hitting 10 plus wins next season.
Okay. Don, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Neil really hit it on the you know, the wide receiver part of it. They don't have a real go-to guy there. You know, all logic would tell me that they're going to be trending up. You know, obviously had a surprising year, you know, at 9-7. I mean, and that, I'll go with the logic and I'll say that they're trending up. I just have the sinking feeling there's going to be I feel like the Titans could be that team, like the, you know, the offseason darlings, you know, close to a playoff berth last year, you know, a lot of young, you know, good young players. But yeah, if I was to choose anyone that would be, you know, the biggest upset or the most surprising downturn, it would be them. Mostly just because of Mariota's injury. It seemed, you know, I haven't heard much from it about it since, but, you know, it seemed more severe than Derek Carr's injury as far as what was damaged in his leg. And obviously he's a, you know, a mobile quarterback. So we'll see if that, you know, injury hampers him. If he loses, you know, he's going to be losing a lot of offseason time, which is, you know, a concern for any quarterback, especially a guy only going into his third year. I'll stick with the logic and say they're trending up though, but it wouldn't surprise me if they take a tumble.
Okay. Kevin, what do you think? I don't peg you as a Marcus fan.
No, I am not a Marcus fan, but I used to dislike him way more than I currently do. So I guess he's grown on me somewhat. But I'm still not completely sold on him. But to give him I don't even know what I was trying to say there, but the Titans need a big play receiver. So they need, that's what I was trying to say. They need to give him a big play wide receiver. Because Rishard Matthews, he's a nice player, but he's not a number one receiver. Delanie Walker is a very good tight end, but he's also getting up there in age, if I'm not mistaken. And another very big area of need for the Titans is a cornerback. Their secondary could definitely be improved. I mean, their front seven was very good. I mean, they got after the quarterback very well this year, but their secondary let them down at times. So they definitely need to improve in that area in the offseason. But just solely for the fact that they also play in the AFC South, obviously, and the Texans seem to be their biggest competitor, they're definitely on the way up, because I don't see that. I don't see anyone like challenging them really in the division. Jaguars, I'm not a fan of, as you guys know. The Colts are trending downward, as we discussed. So the Titans, I just look for them to probably go 9-7, maybe 10-6 again. But that's not because they're like a very good team, just also because they play in a horrible division.
Okay. Well, we're going to go on an unusual, what am I trying to say here? An unusual pattern here. We're going to go to the West. They're always the last division we talk about. And Don, I won't start with you. KC, you know, they seem like they're primed to go. They had a very high mark there this year of 12-4. Can they do it again, or are they going to be looking to rehaul their offense or their quarterback or what?
Oh, boy.
Don's still there.
It looks like it.
Yeah. Hey, Don.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, guys. I had muted myself.
Oh.
I have a little switch on my microphone. I had a nice things to say, but apparently not. But I think they could definitely retool. I think they would need to retool. Strangely, the defense, they're getting older. I mean, Tom Bahali is getting older. I mean, obviously, Derek Johnson's an older guy. With his injury this year, I think was a big loss for them in the run defense. So I could see them, you know. We'll see if D Ford steps into the, you know, Tom Bahali's role. But I can see them definitely doing some work on the defense. I mean, the offense, if they have out, you know, bring back Alex Smith, which I'm sure they would at this point, the offense kind of just is what it is. You know, Spencer Ware had a hot start to begin the year at running back, but they didn't have a whole lot. They didn't have a whole lot from the running backs, you know, with last half of the year or so, I would say. You know, Tyreek Hill obviously was a big surprise, you know, obviously to everybody, and especially the Chiefs. So hopefully they keep featuring him more and more. They get using their receiver, but I mean, you know, 12-4 at that's going to be tougher than the pizza. I said they're going to be trending down for the next year.
Okay, Neil, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with Don. Definitely trending down. I guess the question I would pose to you guys is: Kansas City Chiefs, they're the regular season champs, but the postseason chumps. So how do they become postseason champs? What do they need to change there? They seem to do well every season in the regular season, get to the playoffs, but Andy Reid just can't seem to drag them into a lengthy playoff run. Why not?
Is this a trap, Kevin, with where Alex Smith, you know, Andy Reid is such a good coach where he's maximized Alex Smith and this is as good as they're going to get?
I mean, I think to a certain extent that's definitely an issue. I mean, the Chiefs, besides Tyreek Hill, they just don't have any explosiveness. So it's hard to come back from any sort of deficit greater than 10 points. So that's always something that haunts the Chiefs, because Alex Smith doesn't throw the ball downfield. But at the same time, he's just so efficient and effective. And like, people can criticize him all he wants, but he did just go 12-4. Yeah, they lost in the playoffs. But it's just hard to go to a new quarterback when you have someone who just went 12-4. When we're going through all these teams and we're like, yep, they need a quarterback. They need a quarterback. They need a quarterback. And when you already have a quarterback who can prove to get you 10 wins on a pretty consistent basis, you pretty much have to work with what you got until you don't have them anymore. So maybe they go for a new quarterback, but I don't really think they will. But they need to replace Derek Johnson because he's a great player and all, but he's obviously can't stay healthy anymore. He's going to be 35, maybe even 36. I don't know, but he was a huge loss for them down the stretch. They could have beat the Steelers with him, I think. So they need to look into replacing him. Tom Bahali is also old, so they need some more help on the front seven. I think Dontari Poe may even leave. I'm not sure if he's a free agent, but I think he is. So they need to. They do have some questions on the defensive side of the ball, but I think the Chiefs will be good next year. But like Neil and Don, I don't think they will match their 12-4 output this year.
Okay. So moving on down the list here through the division, we now have the Oakland Raiders on coming up next year. They were also 12-4. The big injury to Carr, you know, stopped them from getting a bye. And I think, Kevin, I'm going to come back to you. You haven't gone first for a bit. What do you see here? Can they attain 12-4, or are they just going to fall back to earth?
I mean, I think the Raiders are in the class of the AFC West right now. I mean, that was as a fan of no one besides the Cowboys, I don't really feel bad for teams when players get hurt. But when Derek Carr got hurt, I felt so bad for the Raiders because that's just it was just so unfortunate. But he should be good to go, all systems go, start of next year. And their defense definitely started to improve down the stretch there. They can have a really fierce pass rush there at times with Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin. Their secondary is pretty good as well. So I think until further notice, the Raiders are the team to beat in the AFC West, and I could see them easily going 12-4 again next year. So they're definitely trending upward because Derek Carr seems to be an elite quarterback, and it seems like he will be for quite some time.
Okay, Dom, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kevin really hit the nail on the head there. I agree with everything he said. And, you know, as far as, you know, a room for improvement, I guess, you know, they have those three running backs. They, Washington, Richard, and Latavius Murray. Maybe they find one of those guys to really take the ball full time. But I mean, other than that, I mean, obviously, you know, Crabtree and Cooper were awesome at receiver for them. Derek Carr obviously had a great year. And I just like Kevin, I felt really bad for them, you know, when he got injured, because I think they could have contended for the AFC. Without him, obviously, they completely crumbled. Yeah, good young pass rush. Yeah, I think things are they're looking up. I think they're going to stay up for the next couple of years for the Raiders.
All right, Neil, I need some cold water here. Monty's getting too excited. Tell me they're not going to do this.
Yeah, I think Don was spot on there. The running game is a concern for me. What we saw when Carr went out is also a concern. They literally fell apart when Carr went out. Now, maybe that was just the timing of it and the psychological blow of losing your quarterback. But they were done then. They were clearly done, even with the award-winning Khalil Mack on defense and the big play guys they have in the outstanding offensive line. They were just gone. And I wonder, can they improve the running game there to take a little bit of heat off Carr if he does miss a game or two with injury next season? That would be my what I think they should be doing in the offseason, certainly developing that running game. Yeah, they can be 12-4. They can be better than that, because I think they are the class of the division. Just concerned about the depth on defense. And there were times last season that defense was one of the worst defenses in the league. And I think they finished the regular season ranked down there at number 26 in defense. And I don't think that's going to eventually get them past the Patriots or maybe even one or two other teams when it comes to a Super Bowl run next season. But they are an outstanding team to watch. No doubt about that. But yeah, give me a running game.
All right. Let's move on to Denver here. They're 9-7 last year, 8-8, whatever they were. And Don, I kind of feel like in my own mind that this is a parallel team to Baltimore, where they're kind of rebuilding but competing at the same time. So what do you see? Do you see them treading water, moving forward?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think Simeon, you know, played well enough to warrant, you know, the first crack at the starting job. I mean, just based on the little bit of play that Paxton Lynch got, he wasn't ready this year at all. We'll see how that goes moving forward. You know, something they lacked, almost going back to Oakland, a really consistent running game. I mean, you had C.J. Anderson, who had his spots, which is usually what he does, and then got hurt. Devontae Booker, who we were all thinking was going to really, you know, flash and pop and dominate, again, had spots, but not consistently. Offensive line definitely needs some work in Denver. The defense obviously fell off, and you know, it would have been almost impossible for them to even improve over what they were, obviously, as good as they were in the 2015 season. You know, DeMarcus Ware, I would assume, is done at this point. So we'll see if any of the pass rushers can step up behind him, opposite of Von Miller, who's still, you know, a freak of nature. Receiving core wise, I think they're all right. You know, Demaryius Thomas is still playing well and still actually pretty young, considering how long he's played in the league. You know, if they get another offensive lineman or two, you know, with Simeon with another year, you know, under his belt starting, I like their chances as long as they can stay, as long as Von Miller stays healthy on defense. Yeah, I think things could be looking up for him. And that's the way I'll go. I'll say things are going up for the Broncos.
All right. Kevin, do you agree that there was a one-year hiccup and they're going to be back in the playoffs?
I'm not sure it was a one-year hiccup. I really don't know their quarterback situation. I mean, Simeon at times looked good, but at times he didn't look very good at all. Paxton Lynch, as Don said, he was nowhere close to being ready in the limited action that he was forced into this year. He did not look good at all. So I don't know what Denver's thinking, if they want to get a veteran that's not Mark Sanchez, bring him in. They're not going to draft someone else. They just drafted Paxton Lynch. But so I don't really – they I don't really know what they're going to do at quarterback. But to reiterate, Don, they need to definitely improve the offensive line, because that really was the weakness of their team, and why I think their offense struggled so much, because Simeon never just didn't have time. The run game never got going. I think they led the league in three and outs. So their offensive line needs to improve. Their running game needs to improve, so they could stand to invest in a back this offseason, perhaps, whether it be a veteran or in the draft. But I'm just so high on the Raiders. I don't think the Broncos really have. I just don't think they can go that high, because the Raiders will prevent them from doing that. So I'm gonna say they're turning downwards just for that fact alone. But to comment on the DeMarcus Ware thing, Shane Ray, step right in and take Ware's place. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes out with a 10 sack season in 2017, because he looked very good at times last year, Shane Ray. So I will leave on a positive note for Denver.
All right, Neil, last word on them.
Two words for Kevin there. And Kevin, before I say this, just sit yourself down and relax, and don't be sitting near any sharp objects. I wonder if we're going to be seeing Tony Romo in Denver next season. I think I have a bit of a feeling he's going to be rocking up there as a Bronco starting quarterback. That's
if
the first
I may
thing.
Interrupt. If that happens, they're trending completely upward.
Of course they are. Another Super Bowl run. The second thing I would say, Greg, is this is another team with a new coach. It's Vance Joseph there, isn't it, from Miami?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and rookie coach. Be interesting to see how he does. Looking forward to see what he can bring to that Denver team. But you guys nailed it. Offensive line, and then after that, a little bit more offensive line.
All right, Neil, let's stay with you here. Let's move on to the Chargers, the L.A. Chargers. That sounds a little weird. You know, they're going to be moving. They 5-11. What changes?
Well, the coach has changed, obviously. They've got, who have they got in there as head coach now? Remind me, guys.
I'm blanking on his name.
Oh, yeah. Isn't he Vance Joseph?
Is it Anthony Lynn?
Oh, no, that's Anthony Lynn's the offensive. Did the offensive coordinator for Buffalo get the Denver job?
Yeah, Anthony Lynn's got the job.
Yeah, so there we go. A household name that none of us will forget. so you do wonder, you know, what he's going to bring to the party. I think he's landed on his feet in a nice soft armchair and can put his feet up, because I think he's got a great roster there. They've got one of the best young defensive players in the league in Bosa, who looked absolutely phenomenal once he got started last season. I think he's a great piece to start that defense. They're going to get their cornerback, Verrett, back after missing the season with injury. He was on his way to All-Pro status before he went out. I like all of that. He's got himself a potential future Hall of Fame quarterback there in Rivers. And if they can just avoid the injury bug, which just seems to have dogged them for, what, two or three seasons now, I can see the new LA Chargers going rocketing up the standings, and 5-11 might even turn that around to make it 11-5.
All right. Don, do you agree with him?
Yeah, I mean, I see them trending upward. I think they would have 17,000 different running backs last year. So hopefully they get some consistency there. I can see that. Yeah, it's trending up, but I don't know how far up I would put them. I mean, Rivers obviously is good. You will see if Keenan Allen can actually stay healthy and come back. Obviously that'll be a big boost for him. Defensively, Bosa, you know, had a good rookie year after missing the first couple games. Again, trending up, I don't see them contending for the division again. I think we all agree. I think Oakland's is a really, really strong team for that. But who knows? Maybe this new the soccer stadium they're going to be playing in changes things up for them. Gets the real hardcore fans there cheering for them. We'll see what happens.
Well, it might be interesting there. Kevin, do you have any last thoughts on this?
Not many more thoughts on the Chargers. They should also look to improve their offensive line, though I will say that, because that's something that's plagued them for a few years now. And like Neil said, they just need to stay healthy, because it is ridiculous the amount of injuries they've suffered the last 2 years to very, very, very key players. So the Chargers will be trending upward just because of that fact alone. But I don't think they will be going 11-5. But I do see an 8-8 or 9-7. I wouldn't be surprised about that.
Okay. All right. Now we're going to move on to the best division in football here, the AFC North.
Yeah, there. Now we're talking.
Uh-huh. What?
Well, let's stay right with you, Don. Let's start with your team here. You know, I'm I think it was an undertone of the season that no one gave credit for was Flacco coming back from his knee injury. And from my eyes, at least, I saw a different quarterback as he got more and more through the season. I felt like he started to look more like his old self. What are your thoughts? And is 8-8, are they going to take down the Steelers next year?
I think you're 100% right on Flacco. I mean, he finally passed for over 4,000 yards for the first time in his career. But when you look at, you know, how far he was actually throwing, you know, yards per attempt was ridiculously low. So I think that goes up. Steve Smith retiring, will, you know, they lose an emotional leader, but you know, he had some good spots on the field this year, but obviously not Steve Smith in his prime. You know, Breshad Perriman, again, he showed flashes. We'll see if he can actually, you know, continue to develop on that and, you know, stay healthy first and foremost. Basically, this year is an option year for Mike Wallace as far as the team's concerned. But I'd like them to bring him back. He did ever have over 1,000 yards, and was a real obviously good deep threat for him. Running back wise, I think Kenneth Dixon takes over the role unless they you know, draft a speedy running back, which they've really never had as far as I'm concerned. Defensively, I could see them taking a step back on defense, though. You know, Suggs another year older. I think Dumerville's gone. You know, Lardarius Webb is gone. Obviously, Zach Orr, you know, with his injury and retirement, I think is a big blow. We'll see if they can get anybody else to play besides C.J. Mosley. But man, he really had a good year. It's a real shame with his injury. You know, if they can get a good young cornerback or maybe a, you know, middle-aged, so to speak, cornerback in free agency, I think they'll have the cap room enough for one decent signing. 8-8, you know, trending up or down. I see him trending a little bit, you know, up this year. Again, my usual 9-7, 10-6 is my expectation going into next year.
All right. Neil, I know you're low on Flacco. What is the cold water on this one?
I think I was low on Flacco last season, but he did show signs towards the end of the season. He was getting over that injury, so maybe there are signs going to point up toward for him. But I do wonder. They are the sixth oldest team in the NFL, and so obviously an infusion of youth will be required in various positions. So I do wonder, Don, where are they going to be using the 16th selection in the NFL draft?
It seems like every early mock draft, which means absolutely nothing. A lot of them say they'll take a Jabril Peppers, is like that, you know, hybrid safety linebacker spot, which is a, you know, a popular thing nowadays. So I wouldn't mind that. I mean, for me, it's pass rush. I mean, that's what it boils down to. Young pass rushers, you know, the old adage, you know, a good pass rush can mask your deficiencies. Really, I mean, pass rusher and cornerback, the first two picks, you know, whichever order it falls to is fine with me, but that's where they need to go, in my opinion.
Okay. Kevin, do you have any last thoughts on the Ravens?
I think Don, being the super fan that he is, hit on all the points. They definitely need a pass rush, so I think he was spot on about that. That's definitely their biggest priority. But I'll keep it at that.
Okay.
That's it for me and the Ravens.
Well, let's stay with you here, because this is a team that I think Don and I both don't like. We'll go over to the Bengals here. And they're having a little bit of natural turnover in their O-line. They're playing, they had a well, you know, thought-out plan on their tackles. We're going to see that go. But they also had a thought-out plan on the wide receivers that they had let go last year. So where do you see the Bengals going from their 6-9-1?
I think the Bengals are trending upwards. They do need to improve the offensive line. Their offensive line is pretty old. They could stand to give Carlos Dunlap a partner in crime, because they sort of lacked a pass rush this year. But I think injuries also plagued the Bengals a lot this year. Not as badly as the Chargers, who we just talked, but I think it definitely helped in their underwhelming season. Mike Nugent's gone for them, so that's good, because he missed about a bajillion kicks this year. I think they should also, you mentioned it, they should invest in a number two wide receiver opposite AJ Green, because right now they don't have that on the roster. Tyler Eifert, if he stays healthy, he's a top 6-7 tight end in the league. So I'm looking up on the Bengals. They're definitely they'll be above 500 again next year and competing for the division with the Ravens and the Steelers, just like they have been for the past 4 years.
Okay, Don, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this one. I'm probably going to go Don heavy here, since he self scouts the division like I do.
I see them trending upwards too. I mean, Kevin had a good point. You know, another receiver there is really needed. A healthy Tyler Eifert is really needed. I think Andy Dalton ended up being, you know, past 2 or 3 years, has really been better than I thought he would be. I think he's good. I think he's a good quarterback, as much as that pains me to say it. I guess they'll go another year with Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard. We'll see if that, you know, keeps going or not. Because I believe Jeremy Hill's a free agent, but I could be wrong on that. Another pass rusher is really needed there. Linebacker play, could be better. I would hope they would move on from Ray Maluga. He hasn't been good in a while, from what I could see. Perfect's okay. At best. So that would be, yeah, but I see them trending upwards. I can see them contending again, that 9-7 territory. I think they have a little bit of a bounce back.
Okay. Neil, your final thought.
Oh, Greg, thanks for coming to me, because if there's one, apart from my own team, this is the team in the league that I'm so annoyed with. All last season, I was on the Thursday podcast saying, yeah, somewhere in there, there's the old Bengals who are a really good team. And every week they seem to lose, and cost me in the pick'em thing. And I was just so angry with them. Yeah, sure, they need playmakers on offense, but no, I see them trending downwards. They've just lost too much coaching talent and too much player talent to for me to see them improving. No, they're going down, definitely.
Okay, then Neil, let's stay right with you here, since you're our draft expert, Neil Kuiper. We're going to go to the Cleveland Browns. Just go ahead.
Yeah, Cleveland Browns. What do they do with that first overall pick? Oh, my God, Greg, they've got to take Myles Garrett. If they don't take Myles Garrett, then they should be relegated to college football.
So, all right, Don, what are your thoughts? I was going to go back to Neil, but I think it's a little bit pointless, since he loves Garrett.
say that last part again.
Well, Neil just loves that Garrett, that defensive end coming out. So,
but yeah, I haven't looked too much at guys coming into the draft yet. I think, you know, that's where they need to go. Pass rush. That's what wins it nowadays, if you have it on defense.
I tell you what, Don. If I was a dog, I would hump Garrett's leg.
Well, you're human, so would you still do that?
No, but I would love him as a Washington Redskin. He is by far and away the best player in the draft. Talk about needing pass rushers, Greg. There's your man there. Trade up for him.
All right. Well, Don, what do you think about the Browns here in general outside of the draft?
Oh, do we really need to talk about that? I was actually looking up, I'm on the NFL.com website as far as the standings go. And it tells you wins, losses, points, all that stuff. I think the most glaring, the most hilarious thing, they show the point differential. So the point differential, the Patriots ended up being the best. They scored 191 points more than their opponents did against them this year. The Cleveland Browns, as you would suspect, on the other hand, are the worst, where they lost by, or they had 188 points less than their opponents did this year. Hopefully, the Josh McCown cute little experiment, I would assume, is done at this point. RG3 is done at this point. Maybe Deshaun Watson, going back to the draft, maybe him number one overall. Can I take a team that was 1-15 and say they're trending down? Because it's almost how I feel about them. I don't think they're good at receiver. They don't have a running game they can rely on. They don't have an offensive line besides Joe Thomas, and I'm sure he's tired of it at this point. They don't have anybody. Again, they're the Colts, where they need 11 defenders. Even Joe Hayden was their one good defender, who was not good this year at all. I'll go on a limb. I'll say they're trending down.
All right. Kevin, we spared you so far on the Browns. Do you have any final thoughts on them?
My final thoughts on them is that they need a quarterback like they have needed one for the last 20 years. And they won't find one over the offseason, I'll tell you that much. So we'll be having the same conversation next year at this time. So the Browns will be bad again. Newsflash, everyone.
All right, Kevin, we're going to stay right with you, and we're going to throw you to my Steelers. And we're going to assume here that Bell is back, because I can't see them not re-signing him or franchising him or whatever. But what do you think about the Steelers?
I think the Steelers, they're probably the best team in the division. I think they do need to improve on the defensive side of the ball. Brady clearly just had his way with you guys on Sunday. Your pass rush with, James Harrison, I don't imagine he's coming back next year. So you guys do need some help on that side of the ball, I think, pass rush wise, and another secondary member perhaps. But I think you guys definitely need a pass rush, an improved pass rush. Ben Roethlisberger, there was word on the streets, he was tweeting or saying some things that he doesn't know if he's going to play. I am assuming that's a bunch of malarkey. So he's going to probably, I'm penciling him in for the week one starter. I would be shocked if he retired. But I think they need a tight end, because Ladarius Green, he just needs to retire, because the amount of concussions he's had, it can't be good for him. So they should probably find one just for Ladarius's health. Because I'm worried as a good Samaritan, I'm worried for Ladarius, because I've never seen someone so frail playing the NFL. So end that little rant on Ladarius Green. But the Steelers, I think, are the best team in the AFC North. And as long as they have Roethlisberger, Bell, and Antonio Brown, I don't see them not being the best team in the AFC North.
Okay. And Don, we'll go to you. Just be gentle for me, okay?
I feel like I've been agreeing with Kevin a lot for this podcast, but I think he had a lot of good things to say. I don't think anything he said was wrong. Yeah, I think the Roethlisberger retirement thing is a bunch of malarkey. He's after a bad loss like that, long season, I'm sure those thoughts creep in his head, but he always likes to add a little bit more drama to everything. But I think he'll be back. There's no way they let Le'Veon Bell go. Antonio Brown is still there. So I still think Antonio Brown's the best receiver in the game. Tight end needs work, just like Kevin was alluding to. Pass rush, Bud Dupree, much like the rest of the Steelers defense, really came on the last half of the year. Secondary would be, you know, the biggest concern for them. Feels like it's been a broken record on that for several years now. Good front three as far as the run goes. Offensive line, with a good offensive line like they have, they're 10-6. I mean, I think things are trending upwards for the Steelers, as much as it pains me to say that.
All right, good. Neil, final thought on the Steelers.
Well, my final thought, Greg, would be saying to you, what do you think?
Yep. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of it to me depends if they can find that second target in the passing game. So, I mean, 11-5, sure. I'm a little more pessimistic. I'm normally like you, Don, with the 9-7 or 10-6. Because I do respect the division, I think, maybe a little bit too much at times. But, you know, I think they're treading water. I don't think they're pointing up or pointing down. I think they need another year to get more talent on the defense and also season what they have. So,
your defense has, you've continued to win as your young defense has developed. That's been quite impressive, I think.
Yeah, but they're not winning at the right time of year for me. So we'll just, to be continued, let's put it that way.
And you're not happy with Hamilton as your number two receiver?
No, I am not.
Sorry, Greg.
They could cut the other four guys at this point, for all I care. Bring back Brian.
What's happening with Marty Bryant?
Well, if he comes back, I'll take him. But he wasn't there on Sunday, so we're moving on. We're putting that where that game is over. We're not talking about the Super Bowl. We're moving on. So, all right. So, unofficially here, I'm writing down a little break. We're at a minute or 1 hour and 21 minutes, guys.
Oh my goodness, Chris.
So.
Really? Wow.
What do you guys want to do? I mean, I'm thinking we almost split this into two podcasts.
Yeah.
We're also at a good point where we could record the other part later this week if you guys wanted to, or we could keep going. And I'm just opening it up because I know Neil's overseas. And
did we do all the AFC divisions already?
Yes.
Not already. Yeah, we just got done with the AFC.
Yeah, I think we should definitely split it up into AFC and NFC because at this rate, it's going to be that beautiful 3-hour marker that we've never hit.
Yeah. So what do you guys think? You guys want to plow through the NFC or you guys want to try to reconvene later this week?
I'm down
for either.
Yeah, later this week I think would be, I mean, Neil, what time is it where you're at?
It's 1:17 and there's 18 minutes and 50 seconds to go in the Kansas West Virginia college basketball game.
What's the score?
Oh, it's Kansas 36, West Virginia 44, and Kansas at the free throw line.
So the first half, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But I'm happy to reconvene later in the week. That's no problem for me.
Okay.
Yeah, that works for me too.
Yeah, I think that would keep me out of trouble with the wife. So if everyone's okay with that, yeah. I'll throw something on the Slack probably Thursday. Does that work for you guys?
Yep. Any day this week's good for me.
Thursday should be fine. If we could do like a 7 to 8 would be okay Thursday.
Okay, we'll shoot for that then.
Or yeah, even if you guys are okay with doing like a 6:30, I mean whatever. I'll work around it. It's no big deal.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, I'll throw it out on Slack, and if you guys have any issues or anything, just let me know.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. Yep.
Would just be good to keep the same band together.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I definitely need to get a crack at the NFC because I just wasted an hour and a half of my breath on the AFC.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it probably pained you.
it's like talking about Division Two, isn't it? And then you want to get to Division One as soon as you can.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, if you guys have like 5 more minutes, why don't we do a little close here? I'm thinking, why don't we go over the, I don't know.
Yeah.
Uh, your hot take or whatever you want to say. Like, anyone got an idea how to close it? Something to sum, so basically sum up the whole conference or what you're thinking about. What's your one thing you're thinking about going in?
We could just quickly say who we think the four division winners will be, just in a sentence.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that.
To say the four division winners, we'll be back next time with the NFC and more Roma.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, I'm down with that. All right.
That includes you, Greg. Yeah.
Sure. Let me see here. Okay. All right, and now that we finally closed the book on the Steelers, there, let's go and switch to picking our division winners to close out this half of the podcast. So, Neil, go ahead first with your division winners. Who are the four teams you think will come out of the AFC?
I'll take the Patriots in the East. I'm going to get this wrong at some point, but the Patriots in the East. I will take Tennessee in the South. And in the North, I will take, I'll take Pittsburgh again in the North. And out there in the West, I will take Oakland.
Okay. Kevin, how about you?
In the East, I'm going to go with the Pats, of course. Barring a miracle, I don't think any other team has a chance over there. The North, I'm going to go with your Steelers, Greg. Sorry, Don. It'll be hard fought, but ultimately the Steelers will take it. And then the AFC South, I don't even want to pick a winner, but I guess I'm going to go with the Texans just based on the defense. And then I'm going to go in the West, definitely Oakland. And I'm going to give a little sneak preview to our listeners in for the August session when we pick our Super Bowl winners for 2018-17. The Raiders are going to make it to the Super Bowl next year. Put it in the books, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, cool. Don, who are your teams?
AFC East, unfortunately, in New England once again. I agree with you guys. AFC North, unfortunately, I think Pittsburgh has the best chance to win that division. AFC South, I'll switch up and go Tennessee on the South. And AFC West, Oakland Raiders.
Okay, and out of spite, I am not taking the Patriots. I will randomly pick Miami. Just out of spite there. Tennessee in the South, they're my boyfriends, I think. So, in the West, I'm going to go with KC. I just think I'm going to go with good coaching. And you know what? I'm actually going to go with good coaching in the AFC North. I'm going to go with Baltimore. I do think, Don, you have the best coaching staff. So.
That's not how I feel sometimes. Some weeks I do, but yeah, I think they'll do all right.
Yeah, I'm hoping on it. So, well, thank you for joining us for the AFC half, and we'll hit you up later this week with the NFC half. For all the guys, here's Jeff Fisher setting us off.